The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Open line through till one today, so the floor is yours. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. I've just noticed the Matrix signs have now flicked to fog on the mountain road. So the Matrix signs at Bagarrow, Hilbury, Sulby and Ramsey showing fog on the mountain road. The DOI got rid of the old website. It's now on an app. If you haven't got the app, there's a Matrix Signs app, which I must point out is not exactly instantaneous, but there we are. Anyway, there is fog on the mountain road, so please do take care. I got a message in from Wendy, who just said, you've been talking about the assisted dying bill that Dr. Allenson is trying to get through at the moment. But what are they doing in Jersey? I'll look at that. We've probably got some news on what's going to be happening in Jersey. Thanks for that. And also, big day today. I don't know whether maybe perhaps you're in business, perhaps you run a business, but it is the 5th of April, big day, of course, start of the brand new financial year. And a note in from Bob in Onchan, who just says, I'm not sure if you were aware, I certainly wasn't. I run a business on the Isle of Man, which has a small number of staff issued with company cars. Now, company cars are different to pool cars. Pool cars aren't available for personal use and are meant to be parked back at base each evening and weekend. Not every company on the Isle of Man seems to bother, though. Anyway, the bottom line that in February's budget, the Manx government announced changes to the company car users' tax rates. The calculation is made with the brand new replacement value of the vehicle. So even if the vehicle is 5, 10, 15 years old and worth nowhere near that, it's valued at the brand new replacement value. This is multiplied by the carbon dioxide, or carbon monoxide anyway, one of the carbons emission, to give a new tax rate to that the individual has to pay. Now, one of my team's got a small year-old car. They've got a bill of £9,000 extra in income tax every year. £180 a week extra in company car tax. One of my other employees has got a bigger vehicle, which, despite being well over 3 years old, will see him paying £22,000 extra on top of what they already pay in tax. This is the new company car legislation on the Isle of Man. The government appears to be saying this is all to push green electric cars, and indeed the tax rate for electric cars is going to be much lower. However, there are neither the electric vehicles available on the Isle of Man nor the infrastructure in place to make this change from when the government announced this in mid-February to start in mid-April when the new tax rules apply. So what was that? 7-8 weeks ago it was announced. Now, normally that will be phased in, but this is coming in today. Bob says, look, I get the green thing. I think we get the message. But the speed at which this has been announced and then applied, 6 weeks, doesn't allow companies or individuals to make any reasoned decisions. Going to the major vehicle lease companies on the Isle of Man to see if we can swap to electric or smaller vehicles is getting us nowhere. It's impacting my business, and we aren't the only ones asking. This appears to be a cash grab from a broke government, to be honest, Andy, says Bob. And a note on the bottom also says, does this also apply to the people who take own company vans and park them on residential streets? Are they company cars? The many government vans that also, DOI vans that seem to be parked outside people's homes, also contractors and companies like Manx Telecom, who take home company vehicles. I think this needs to be clarified, and I basically, says Bob, I think this is anti-business. So if you've got any thoughts on that, then please do get in touch. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And let's get, first of all, to David with us on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, I was just wondering, just looking at the Steam Packet website today, like, the Manxman sailed in a south-southwest 6 or 7, but she's not coming back in a south-southwest 6 or 7 because of adverse weather conditions. The wind doesn't pick up till tomorrow or later on through the night. So if that's the case, she sailed today and she won't be coming back till Monday morning.
Well, they're saying they're going to look. Definitely, the first he may be able to come back is 02:15 tomorrow. That's if everything works. But as you, I mean, no, if you looked at the website, it's all pink through until Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, but the forecast for tomorrow is like 5 to 7, and then going 7 to 8, and occasionally severe gale 9. So she's not going to sail on that if she's not going to return on a 6 or a 7. And Sunday, 7 or gale 8. She sailed before in a 7 to an 8. I just can't understand it. Like, the Ben McCree has never, ever not come back on a 6 or a 7 because of adverse weather.
Is this anything to do with direction of wind?
No, not really, because she could get there and back on a southwest, not a problem.
Mm.
As long as it was like south or southeast or east, then it'd be a problem.
What would you like to hear from the Steam Packet, David?
A bit of honesty from them. Because it just seems to me that the freedom of information disappeared before the information came back for the vibration on it. Then all of a sudden now she can't come back in the 6 or 7 because apparently it's too rough for her. Well, she could have sent the Ben McCree this morning in front of her, picked up the people, and then people might be stuck there now till early hours of Monday morning to come back. There might not be a lot of people, but they've got to find accommodation.
It's going to be chaos for those people there. I mean, the hotels in Lancaster are going to be rubbing their hands together, but that doesn't help anybody. And not only that, there is a massive amount of freight that, our new monopoly Tesco won't be too best pleased about this.
No, they won't. But I couldn't understand. I just thought, well, why don't you send the Ben McCree 3 hours later, send the Manxman, she could sit there all weekend, fill up with cargo and everything, and then come back on Monday morning. But the people, I just feel sorry for the people that are stuck.
I think there's not much room in Heysham Port, though, is there?
No, well, to be honest, all the going-ons with the tidal restrictions, the boat's too big for Heysham Harbour. She's just far too big. Like the Ben McCree, she's the perfect size for it. When they bought the boat for it, obviously she had problems when she first came. They put a load of weight in her, and she's perfect. But the Ben McCree has never, ever turned and not sailed back on a 6 or a 7. I mean, it's just getting beyond the joke, Steam Packet now.
Well, they say, I mean, the chairman was on saying that this should all be sorted out within a year. She'll find her sea legs and everything will be sorted.
Well, she's had her sea legs. She's been out in 7 and 8. She's come back in a gale 8, up to a gale 8, but she can't come back on a 6 or a 7. You know, it's making a mockery. How many other freight companies are not going to sail back this afternoon from wherever they're going? Every one of them are going to sail. Most of them will sail tomorrow if they can get in before the severe gale comes, but not the joke boat that'll sit in Heysham all weekend and then come back on Monday. Honestly, Andy, it's an absolute disgrace.
All right. David, we appreciate that, and thanks for your honesty today. It's good to hear from you.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
All the best to you. I got a message in from Darren who just says, yes, there is fog on the mountain, and there's also somebody walking on the road at the veranda. A lorry pulled over just after the turning for the Victory Cafe heading north with an unsafe load. Is that true? Thank you for that, Darren. It's good to hear from you. And thanks also to a note in from WhatsApp 085. Peel sewerage plant was scheduled to commence last year, but the public stopped it, looking from the outside in the lack of progress down to the public and Peel commissioners opposing. Is that? Was it public opinion that stopped that Peel sewage plant? You can't send the Ben McCree, says Andrew. Ben McCree's currently in dry dock in Birkenhead. Is that all right? Thanks also to Melvin, who dropped a note in to Man in Line today concerning, oh, the company, a very long note. I'll read that in a moment, Melvin. But first, Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Randy. Just listening to David there. The Ben McCree, the story was when she was going to Heysham and the weather was blowing up, they brought it back simply because they couldn't afford to or they didn't want to leave it in Heysham. Now, why has the attitude changed with the Manxman? A bigger vessel should be able to take a better sea. I've come back on some dreadful weather on the Ben, and you know, she still sailed. It might not have been comfortable, but she sailed. But they seem to be only interested in freight, and this is what, looking to get rid of the Ben and just going to the Arrow, which mean that the island, for a large portion of the winter when the weather blows, if they're going to rely on Mananan, that can only sail in very restricted seas. So the Isle of Man is going to be cut off, basically, for a large part of the year. But I'm talking about cutting off is what I came in for. The June Watterson speaker, he asked the DOI have the horse trams, the completion of the horse trams, been abandoned. And a letter came back from, the minister, Tim Crookall.
Yeah.
And it's, to say mediocre, it's a load of waffle. And that is to June Watterson. And you can download it. It's off your news website, and I've downloaded it. I've got it in front of me. And it says, the last paragraph, the department has not abandoned the section referred to and has not requested a resolution for abandonment. Indeed, the department has retained a tram corridor to allow future reinstatement of the track. Well, why don't they get on with it instead of talking? That's what they seem to be very good at, is talking and getting nowhere. You know, there's three paragraphs here that Tim Crookall has put in at the end of it, and they are linking, rightly or wrongly, the horse trams now with the under the Railway Act. And so they're quoting all that to try and confuse people. But it sounds very much like another piece of that jigsaw I mentioned the other day that is slowly getting lost. And I see they've cut the grass down there, but what day were today? Friday. Early on this week, we had the first of the cruise ships in.
Yeah.
It'll hurt the crew. But there's only 44 coming this year. And if you can refresh my memory, I think there was something like 60-odd last year.
There was over 60, I'm sure, over 60 last year.
63, I think it was. But this, again, is another lost opportunity. They seem to be capable of throwing money in all different directions, but not in the right directions. And they keep saying, oh, we've got better things to spend our money on. Why are they celebrating 50 years of a lump of iron, steel, a link span? Why is it necessary to have a celebration for something that's going to, you know, it's been there for 50 years? Okay, it's useful, but it's not a very important piece for our history. It's how many other places around have got ports that have celebrated 50 years of having a link span?
Yeah.
This is the nonsensical ideas that this government is coming up with.
I got a message in while you're talking, Howard, from Sally, who just said, to show intent, why don't they just buy half a dozen signs and put the signs on the wall by the future of the horse tram and just say, this is the site of the new horse tram link. So people get it in their mind that that's where it's going to be. Because it's possible that this is just drifting away from some people's conscience. In their mind, they can't visualise where the horse tram is going to be if it ever goes from the War Memorial down to the sea terminal. But she said,
yeah,
stick a few signs and say, this is where it's going to be, so people can keep it in their mind.
Well, putting a few signs up is not going to do the job. It only means they're going to lie on the wall and rust. Good for Sally. Yep, her mind is there in the right place. But wouldn't it be better to have the horse trams going down there instead of a plethora of signs down at the sea terminal?
It would be fantastic, but you know and I know that's not going to happen before the next election.
Well, it should do, because they were elected and the money's gone through and the way things are going, there should be a public inquiry as to where that £1 million, not just a few quid, £1 million, and then they're going to talk about it's going to cost £2 and £3 million. So, in essence, there's anything up to £3 million gone missing. Where has that gone? When you take the sum total, by the time the horse trams is finished, the sum total of the cost over and above the promenade expenditure, which, looking at the promenade I went along yesterday, is slowly falling to pieces again, it's going to be £3 million. So you could say there's £3 million gone out of the public kitty to subsidise something that was already supposed to be in the contract for the promenade renewal.
Howard, do you feel proud of Douglas Promenade?
I feel proud of Douglas Promenade, but not the state of it.
Because once upon a time, it was freshly painted. It had, do you remember the illuminated fountains? There was the boating lake, the gardens, as you well know. The gardens were trim and prim. They looked fantastic.
Well, you're talking to the converted here, because when I started work, going back a long while, 1959, I started work for the Douglas Corporation Parks Department, and the Promenade Gardens was part of my apprenticeship. And that's where I worked, and that's why I still, even to this day, have a love for gardens. And to see them going down, and the rockery in particular, I think we call that the rockery anyway, number two garden, they were all numbered, starting from the village end. That was just planted up with shrubs, and it did not have the same effect as having it planted with plants. And they say the gardens are covered in salt. They do, but the plants can survive that. I know, I've worked in them. And the gardens are part and parcel of Douglas, and they should never, ever be ruined. And that horse tram along the side there, I reckon they're going to take part of the wall down as well. So this is why it's getting delayed, because not only have they got to put the lines in, which they've already bought, they're going to have to dig down and put a substantial base in.
Yeah.
And to do that, they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, but we'll have to take the wall down on the roadside and creep into the garden.
I must have looked at that a couple of dozen times, and maybe I'm just a bit thick, or maybe I don't know that much about trams, but I can't see how it fits.
No, no. Well, I've thought about it, because you get the vehicles backing in, and the tails, and some of the cars are quite long, and vehicles, vans, and you get some of the tradesmen's vans with ladders on, and you wouldn't know where to start to look for them once they've been backed in and blocking the horse tram run. Where the trams are planned to go, you wouldn't know where to look for anybody, and you can't just pick it up and tow it away. But that there, alongside the wall, for an area to run a horse tram safely will not be adequate, I don't think.
Okay.
It's only my point of view, but I'm very sceptical of it.
And before we go any further, let's put on record that the guys, the boys who work in the Parks Department at the moment, well, the ones who do and will be doing the gardens fairly shortly, all share pride in those gardens and are very, very skillful gardeners.
Unfortunately, well, I say part of the apprenticeship I had, it was also in the Villa Marina in the gardens there. But they have a lot of contractors now within the doing these gardens. The government have brought them in. The villas won. And what broke my heart, and a lot of people of my age will remember, there used to be a beautiful big mulberry tree at the gatey end of the of the Villa Marina lawns. And people used to come from all around the Douglas area to pick the mulberries. And they just cut that down when it was renovated.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the contractors are doing work. And I was in the Villa Marina Gardens not so long ago, and it would break your heart. All that beautiful rose garden's gone.
It looks a bit of a wasteland, doesn't it?
It does. It's nothing like it. And gardening, it's a strange way to put it side by side, but gardening's like nursing. if you don't look after your patients, they will die. And that's what happened to the gardens. Okay. You've got to have it. It's a vocation.
All right. Have a good weekend. Don't get blown away this weekend, okay?
I'll try my best.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Take care. All the best to you. Is the Matrix sign on Loch Promenade working yet? It's been blank for at least 3 years, says Tector 762. And thank you to 272. The Isle of Man is not only home of the halfway horse tram, but also of the self-fixing concrete. Maybe we could patent it. Government makes at least £18 million from road tax, VAT on fuel, servicing, VAT on insurance, yet they only spend £6.6 million on the roads, says Alan. And the company Car Tax, will this include all the DIY, Douglas City Council, that are filling the residential streets in Ramsey? What a nice way to encourage new business to the Isle of Man, by lumping up company car insurance, company car tax for people who have a company car, and people who are perhaps halfway through a lease agreement with that. It is going up thousands in the new rate that came in the budget, which starts today. And the point being, Fran makes the good point about the fact that lots of people, and I'm not blaming them, but take home company vans. Mainly because sometimes companies don't want to pay for, you know, having a lock-up yard or having a yard where vans can be stored. So people take them home. So what do you think about that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Why doesn't the government just admit that we're going broke? Well, they have, in a roundabout sort of way. Electric car market stalls as consumers opt for petrol vehicles, says Peter. Sent me a note from the Times. You can afford the Times? Thanks also to, will the new tax law, how will it affect people who use their own car for deliveries? Is every, you know, people who are the Every workers or the Hermes workers, will they be charged? The topic of company car vehicles, does the Peel Group Holdings own the Isle of Man? They seem to have a lot of interest here, including the weather, being as they're big players in geoengineering our weather. Is that true? Thanks, Max. Can you tell me that absolutely for definite? And if the previous exemptions or anything to go by, it'll be private but not Government Landlords Act. Government vehicles will not be liable for tax, says John. Well, we'll find out. The real reason that the Manxman won't sail in rough weather is because it has to stay in Heysham and it costs an absolute fortune to dock there overnight, says Frank Francis, Frankie Francesca. Our saviour, the motor vessel Arrow, left Larne about 8:15 bound for Douglas, says Terry. The ship can handle any weather at sea. It's when she gets here or Heysham, the handling of her in port, or should I say says Des, I pay £65 road tax for my hybrid car. Best of both worlds.
Hi, this is Jenny Bean from Ballochill Ferrick. I was on the radio earlier this week publicising our open day at Ballochill Ferrick Methodist Chapel. Unfortunately, we're going to have to cancel it. It was due tomorrow, April the 6th. We are having a new water main put the entirety of Ballochill Ferrick Road, and it just so happens that they've reached right outside the chapel, and there won't be any access into the chapel, into the schoolroom, tomorrow, and they'll be working here tomorrow morning, 8 till 1, and it was scheduled for 11 till 1, and unfortunately people won't be able to get here, so we've just had to take the decision that we're going to have to cancel it and combine it with a coffee morning later in the month.
Oh dear, that's not going to happen then. Thanks for that information. It's good to hear from you. Also, remember, there is one political surgery this weekend, the MHK for Russian, one of the MHKs for Russian. It's Michelle Haywood. Dr. Haywood is going to be at the East Room in Port St. Mary Town Hall, 10:30 till midday tomorrow. An opportunity to go and chat about anything you want to with MHK Michelle Haywood at the East Room, Port St. Mary Town Hall tomorrow at 10:30.
Quality, economy, that's what we're all about.
Imagine relaxing in your new luxury bathroom with the latest bathroom suite. Or how about a stunning wet room with contemporary designer tiles? Turn your dreams into reality at a price you can afford at Paysetter. Visit the Paysetter Bathroom and Tile Showroom, Harris Terrace.
That's what we're all about.
Ramsey, Douglas, Castletown and Peel. The Ferry Bridge and Laxey Wheel. Point of Air to the Sound of Man. Explore the island with Camperman. Whether it's an island staycation, a trip to the UK or a tour of Europe, do it in style with Camperman Luxury Motorhome Hire. Fabulous accommodation, the open road and stunning views await you. Start planning your dream adventure. Call Camperman Luxury Motorhome Hire now on 304087 or find us on Facebook.
Island Hearing Limited, your local hearing care specialist since 2009 with branches in Port Erin and Ramsey. We provide the very latest hearing aid technology available, which you can try at home, with excellent aftercare and a wax removal service available using microsuction. Give us a ring on 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. We're happy to help. Island Hearing, always listening.
Don't miss the Kane & Wicker furniture range in-store at Millichaps of Ramsey. Includes sofas, chairs and swivel rocker chairs, dining sets and coffee tables, with designs featuring quality frames, beautiful fabrics including Laura Ashley designs and comfortable fully sprung seats with leather bindings. Plus, we have special offer suites and a huge range of window blinds to complement. Discover exclusive Kane & Wicker furniture in-store now at Millichaps of Ramsey.
Do you like the uncertainty of how much your next fuel purchase is going to cost? Are you a gardener or farmer concerned about the past 4 months above average rainfall? Is it possible to mitigate against the problems climate change will bring, or has that boat already sailed? Energy and Sustainability Centre directors Ralph Peake and Adrian Cowan think they have some of the answers, and they share their thoughts on perspective this Sunday at 12 noon on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Whether you accept man-made climate change or not, cheaper, cleaner energy must be a good thing. Or do you think it's just an unnecessary drop of Manx greenwash in a mighty, overheated global ocean?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
27 minutes before one. It's our 60th anniversary year. Did you know? You did? Well, I'm telling you again. Manx Radio started in 1964. And every Monday and Friday on Manx Radio's Man in Line, you'll hear an excerpt from the archive. Today, Sir Bernard Ingham, Margaret Thatcher's press secretary, visited the Isle of Man to speak at a hospice fundraising dinner in the 1990s. And as always, we got a Manx Radio microphone in front of Sir Bernard, and you'll hear Sir Bernard Ingham after Man in Line finishes today. We were nearly late for a flight yesterday, says John, due to the roadworks in Ballasella. They're doing a manhole cover there, aren't they? Some temporary lights. When we got to the roadworks, there were two workmen leaning on the wall, not doing anything while all the traffic was absolutely backed up. Could there not have been a police officer there doing that? It's a very busy road, and we were nearly late for the flight. In the Manx budget, pensions were increased by 8.1% from April the 1st. Pick my pension up this morning, says Pat. No increase. What's happened? More notes about this. Thank you to WhatsApper 253. Sent me a screenshot of the forecast wind gusts at 6 o'clock tonight when the Manxman would be due back in Douglas Harbour. If Manxman came back this afternoon, it wouldn't be the sea conditions that are the problem. It's the manoeuvrability in Douglas Harbour. Of course, she is a much bigger boat side on freeboard and what have you. Never mind the steam packet again. I've just been to the local butcher. They haven't had a delivery today from the meat plant, so couldn't get what I wanted. When's the government going to sort this out, as the butchers will just have to start getting their meat from across instead of the Isle of Man? Company vans are not normally for own use, says Alan. Thanks for pointing that out, Alan. However, I've had lots of correspondence over the past few years from people who say that people do take company vans home in the evening. It used to be in the past that people went to a company yard, picked up the van they were using in the daytime, used it in the daytime, dropped it in the yard, and make their way home. Now, many companies are allowing people to take the van home. So it's, if you're taking the van home, isn't that personal use? I'm just pointing that out. How can forcing the disposal of perfectly serviceable vehicles in favour of newly manufactured electric vehicles be regarded as environmentally friendly? It's ridiculous, says Julian in Port St. Mary. Thank you for that. The scoreboard is a waste of money. Only a tiny percentage of the fans in the grandstand look at the scoreboard, as it is most of them use live timing websites on their phone, says Mike, the TT fan. We come back to the case of whether or not we should have a brand new scoreboard. The lady who asked what was happening in Jersey, where our assisted dying legislation is making its way through the legislative process at the moment. Jersey has taken a step closer to introducing assisted dying. Like the Isle of Man, the Channel Islands exploring the possibility of offering an end-of-life service. They've recently issued proposals which are due to be debated at the state's government in Jersey next month. If passed, assisted dying could be legal in Jersey by 2027. So we got hold of a journalist at the Jersey radio station, Channel 103. This is Liberty Lester.
The Health Minister and his team, as well as the Council of Ministers, have lodged a proposition into an assisted dying service in Jersey. So this basically means that people who want to take up the service would have to be over 18, and they would have to be a resident in Jersey for more than 12 months. They would also have to do two assessments by two different doctors to check eligibility. And this includes making sure that they have decision-making capacity. So they need to be able to make an informed decision and state that they have a voluntary wish to end their life. And then they must fall under one of two routes. So states members will be debating whether to accept both of these routes, one of them or neither of them. And route one is if a person has a terminal illness, which is expected to cause death within 6 months for a physical illness and 12 months for a neurodegenerative condition, they will be able to access a service. Or for route two, it's unbearable suffering from a physical illness, which can't be alleviated in a way that the person deems tolerable.
I understand there's been some research into how many people this will affect.
It basically looks into how many people are estimated to take up the service a year, and it's estimated between 6 and 38 people. That figure's been taken from other jurisdictions such as West Australia, Canada and Oregon. They've also taken the figures of the ongoing cost per year, which is almost £650,000 to £1.4 million a year, which will be taken out of taxpayers' money for the free service.
So just to bring us up to date then, where are you in Jersey with this? It's going to debate next, is it?
Yes, so this proposition will be going to debate in May on the 21st.
And if it's passed?
Yes, so it'll become draft law within 12 to 18 months from that, and then 12 to 18 months again from there will be at summer 2027, and that is the earliest possible date we could see the service.
That's the situation as far as Jersey is concerned, so we're now up to speed with what they're trying to do there. If you've got any thoughts on that, then by all means text, email, call and WhatsApp. Mike's with us now. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. Reference the commercial vehicles and taking them home.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with taking them home. That's not personal use. And a lot of people who take their vans home, I used to be in the same position, on call out. So you need your van full of tools at home.
Right.
Also, you're saying about leaving them in a yard. You don't get a yard with a modern unit anymore. If you're lucky, you get about three parking spaces unless you pay for extra ones. But you don't get a yard. So like people in my trade with metalworks, I mean, you've got no room to put a skip, you've got no room to put materials. And people do put them outside their units, but they take up room and people complain. But they're not given a yard anymore because that's land that they can put another unit in.
So, I mean, whoever's organising the distribution, the state of yard or so-called yards nowadays and places to park, I mean, it just means that vehicles and associated stuff is being just displaced elsewhere, Mike.
Well, yeah, but where are you going to put them? I mean, I used to drive a four-wheel drive pickup, one of these crew cab ones, and I was regularly down to Mary Vague. So my tools were in the back. The canopy over the back of the pickup was constantly mouldy because of where I was working.
Yeah.
Tools in there permanently. I did get taxed. This is 15 years ago. They changed the tax regime on the crew cab pickups because they've got rear windows and rear seats, because too many people were buying them as company vehicles and using them to transport dogs and jet skis, etc. And that was what I was told by the tax office.
Right. So
you've got no yards to put vehicles in.
Okay, so the yards basically don't exist anymore.
Correct. All modern units are a unit and a couple of parking spaces.
Okay. And do you know that for a fact, then? If somebody takes a company van home in the evening, that's not personal use?
I can only go on my experience. I used to be a works manager for a company on the island, Finnegala Man. And there was two of us who used to go home in vehicles. I was on 24-hour call-out. The other vehicle wasn't, and the tax office looked into it at the time. The other vehicle was a transit, proper transit panel van, and he didn't have to pay tax as a company perk for taking it home. So unless something's changed since then, it was quite legal for him to take it home, but he wasn't allowed personal use of it.
Right, only as far as getting home.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, Mike, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
All the best. It's 18 minutes before one. Companies on the Isle of Man that provide cars to employees as a benefit in kind will be charged based on the vehicle's CO2 emissions, Treasury has said. The changes to the calculations are the first to be made in 15 years and affect employers who offer cars to workers for private use and pay for fuel instead of awarding pay rises or other benefits. The value of the car based on emissions will be added to the employee's taxable salary. If you use a larger petrol vehicle like a Range Rover, you'll see £2,750 added in tax. Electric vehicle drivers get an extra £150. This was the annual budget in February, but the anecdotal evidence we've had from Bob earlier on is that it's going to add a lot of tax to people. But if you've got thoughts on this, and particularly if it affects you, if you've got over the shock, then by all means, do get in touch. The tramway fiasco, was it true that due to the curve installed instead of straight lines, it would cause that derailment? And why on earth during the prom upheaval wasn't it completed, says John. I think we all asked that, John. I run a business, says Manx Rob, employing local workforce. For some reason, the government is anti-local companies. They put barriers up to hinder local businesses. You need to be a lawyer to understand the tender application forms, and anybody with an ounce of common sense can see the local companies need help to expand. The current government, I think, is on the way to ruining the island. It's time for a new government with proper business men and women, or whoever. A government that cares about the Isle of Man, says Manx Rob.
ShopRite Savers, available now from our stores in Peel, Ramsey and Onchan. Stock up on laundry. Comfort Ultimate Care 58 Wash for £2.50. Persil Laundry Liquid 53 Wash, just £4.72. A time-saving snack. 90-gram pot noodle, only 70 pence. Coffee break. Kenko Millicano 100 gram, just £4. Pasta sauce. Jars of 500-gram Dolmio Bolognese, only £1.50. All these savers and more available at ShopRite.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting care as first.
Come to the Community Cafe at Crossroads. Enjoy a bite to eat or a cuppa and cake, all while supporting a worthy cause. The Community Cafe at Crossroads, 11 Tynwald Street, Douglas. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every Thursday and Friday.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
With less than 1 month to go, FC Isle of Man are hoping to finish the NWCFL Premier Division relegation season on a high, starting with their penultimate home game of the campaign this weekend. The Ravens welcome Lower Breck to the Bowl on Saturday night as part of a hectic schedule of matches over the next few weeks. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Lower Breck, kicking off this Saturday at 6 p.m. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio is supported by Selton, investing in our community.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
14 minutes before one, remember, Sir Bernard Ingham, Margaret Thatcher's press secretary, remembered in our 60th anniversary retrospective after Man in Line today. Thank you, Michael in Blackpool, who just said, just bemoaning the halfway horse tram. The halfway horse tram at the moment, Michael, goes from Castlemona Avenue, from just about by the War Memorial, towards Summerland to Derby Castle. So you can go that way. But Michael says in Blackpool, everybody, people can get a tram and see the entire length of the promenade right up to Fleetwood. Well, ours doesn't go that far, but certainly if you're getting off at the sea terminal, you have to walk. Walk a while, more than a while, to where the horse trams go. And certainly if we're getting 40-odd or more cruise liners, they certainly won't be availing themselves of the horse tram outside the sea terminal. But thank you for that. Good to hear from you, Michael. I appreciate that. Paul's with us now. Hi, Paul.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Good, thanks. This is Paul Quine, Paul, former MHK.
Indeed, yes. I'm just listening to what some of your callers have discussed with regard to the parking of work vans.
Yeah.
And I know firsthand when I was representing Douglas South, there's large areas of South Douglas overnight are plagued with work vans parking often illegally. We had one situation where the ambulance trying to get through to Simonia, the stroke rehabilitation place, was unable to get through ostensibly because of work vans parked in the area. So it was something that I was working on during my time in the House of Tea, and looking to address the issue with one kind of large builders firm who have a multitude of vans parked all over the place. So they seem to be like a serial offender with regard to it.
Well, we heard Michael earlier on, sorry, who's saying that nowadays, if you buy a unit or lease a unit, there's not the concept of an old fashioned works yard has gone, so there's nowhere to park anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of agricultural land. I'm sure there's, you know, I mean, my idea was, you know, they should contact a farmer. You know, I'm sure farmers would welcome the additional revenue to create a parking area for a fleet of vans on their around their farm. I don't think there's an issue where land's concerned. I think it needs to be properly addressed. You don't see the postman bringing his post van home of an evening, you know. One of the strange ironies is one of the people who were plagued with this issue, former constituent, is actually runs a very large local hall here. And he was making that point quite often, that although these people sort of masquerade under the fact that they are quote on call unquote, they're not a blue light service. They're not an emergency service. So that doesn't really hold too much too much in the way of backing up their argument, in my opinion. Because they should be finding somewhere. If the company's got a large fleet of vehicles, then they should be making provision to park those vehicles.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Paul. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, it's 11 minutes before one. Talking of Douglas South, MHK's for Douglas South, Sarah Maltby and Claire Christian going to be on Man in Line on Monday. So if you've got any points to make regarding Douglas South, whether or not it is vans, and do you think that old-fashioned notion of a company that had vans having a yard where people drove or walked to work, took the van out, dropped the van back at the works yard, and then made their own way, is that redundant nowadays, or are we resigned to having vans in residential areas? No need to celebrate the link span as such, but in terms of infrastructure, says Ed, it is the single most important piece of equipment the Isle of Man has. Without the spans, we're virtually cut off in terms of freight of any sort, including clothes, food, health, building supplies, etc. It's an absolutely vital part of the Isle of Man, and if nothing else, it needs maintaining to the highest possible standards and plans putting in place for the replacement of it at the right time, says Ed. So hail the link span and hail the other one as well. Dave says, Andy, the increase on company car drivers is awful. It's apparently designed to encourage firms to put their staff in more economical vehicles, but the burden is put on them, the employee, who in many cases has no option but to change the car. People should have been given significant notice of this when it was coming. As it was, Dave, they got 6 weeks. Carol giving admiration for Howard, speaking much sense and love of the Isle of Man to the heritage. When the Manxman looked up in a nice warm port, with the Manxman locked up in a nice warm port, there are some... Sorry, you'll have to give me that a bit later. Does the tax apply to the dozen of £50,000 4x4s that many DOI employees are treating themselves to and taking home at night, says John. John's opinion on 404. It's true, and all information is online. The UK government has the contract on website and easy search. Sorry, Manx. Will, just give me a bit more details on that. The gardens on the promenade are, and have been since the good old days, kept looking beautiful in the main by three members of staff, one of whom is a woman who has worked extremely hard, often in difficult circumstances and weather conditions as well. You have to take pride in what they do. So stop the continuous criticism of the gardens when low-paid employees are doing their best to keep them looking good. Spare a thought for their morale and mental health, says John. You got the wrong end of the stick there, John. We're not criticising anybody. We're criticising how it looks. And the people on the ground, the workers, of course, do as they're told. It's the people higher above who've made the decision on the design of what they look like. So the people, the people who take pride and skill in what they do, well, we've got nothing against them. Never said we had. Pensions won't go up until the 6th of April, the new financial year, says that correspondent. And the shrinkage of the Manx agricultural industry is the fault of the Farmers Union, as they supported DEFRA in the transfer of government subsidies from being linked to production to just being paid out on acres occupied, says David. The EU rules were given as the need to do this, but there was a provision within the rules allowing the recoupling of the government payments back to production as other companies did. In any event, we have left the EU. Well, we were never in the EU, were we? A Protocol 3 opt-out, but the point taken. We left the EU some time ago, but the changes, no changes have been made. Even if recoupling was done now, it would take many years and the great cost to make the land productive again, as it wasn't required to maintain quality pastures to receive the acreage payments. So, David, that's the story about one producer in the south of the Isle of Man stopping producing spuds. Imagine that. The Isle of Man without spuds. What's going on?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
And of course, you can email maninline@manxradio.com when we're out of hours across the weekend. If you suddenly get caught with a flash of inspiration and brilliance, well... Email maninline@manxradio.com. Oh, as you've heard, call the answer phone on 682-631. Harbour Road in Onchan, most nights and all weekend, up to 5 telecom vans parked on the road. Are they on call? Well, as Paul Quine said, they're not a blue light service, are they? So really... I used to have a company vehicle I took home. My job meant I was on call, so I didn't pay benefit in kind regarding tax, says Andy. Look at the supermarket car park, says G, at the weekend, and note how many works vans aren't outside homes but are used to shop. So surely that is personal use. Well, if you haven't sorted it out yet for that company car, I'm afraid you've got a big shot coming. That's it. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.
W-I-N-T. 60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
There have been many distinguished guests on this island over the last 60 years. One came bearing a fearsome reputation in political spheres. Yet he was not a mainline politician. He was Margaret Thatcher's press supremo, Bernard Ingham. He'd been invited to address a hospice fundraising dinner.
Thank you for inviting me to make only my second visit to the Isle of Man and to support Hospice Care's £300,000 appeal to extend St. Bridget's Hospice, which I'm told serves the whole of the island. This is also the very first St. Valentine's Day dinner I have addressed in my life. Somehow I do not seem to be the first name which springs to mind when they are thinking of celebrating St. Valentine's Day. I am therefore touched by your romantic notions of me. I shall love you forever. I first saw the Isle of Man in 1954 from the top of Great Gable in the Lake District. It took me a long time to get here, and I can't remember which minister I came with, but I think it was Barbara Castle. I know it was an absolutely lovely day. But my thoughts turned to the Isle of Man during TT races just after the war, not because I rode a bike, but because Councillor Milton Sunderland of Mytheroyd in West Yorkshire was known, so he told me as a cub reporter, as the King of the Manx TT. He had an unblemished record for finishing the race. Milton never won, but he never came off. Now, I have approached this dinner somewhat apprehensively. You see, my reputation often precedes me. I had therefore better come clean. I want to thank Mrs. Nadine Crowther for maintaining her invitation after the Independent newspaper recently described me as a mound of poisoned suet. This shows you what can become of a chap who makes a profession out of serving not one but two strong women who were let down by weak men.
Part of Island Life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.